I'm back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I had planned on bringing another message on a miracle of Christ and make a spiritual application from it. But this message here has been on my mind for a few weeks. And I find those are the best ones to preach, the ones that have been working on me, not the ones I work on. You can tell the ones I work on. But the ones that work on me, I have learned, are the messages to preach. And I have been thinking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ for weeks now. The cross of our Lord speaks volumes to those who are saved by it. You know, when you and I read the scriptures and we read of Christ crucified, we read of the cross. I went back this morning and I read in Matthew where he was taken to the cross, where they took him to the hall and then they put the crown of thorns on him and they mocked him and spit on him and slapped him and then took him out and crucified him. I thought, my, what a scene. What a scene. But that's all for me. That's for me. It's more real to me right now than ever before that a man named Jesus Christ was put to death, executed for me, on my behalf, that I might stand in God's presence, that I might not fear when I cross over Jordan, when I have to go to the grave, and I go stand before God, the books are clear. Everything's all right. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and took my hell, took the wrath I deserved. And that's more real to me now than it was 40-some years ago. And I want us to look at the cross this morning. The whole gospel is bound up in the cross. The gospel is not about the ability of Christ to heal diseases. As we, you know, we read the Gospels, we see these miracles. He gave sight to the blind. He enabled the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and he raised the dead. But the gospel is more than that. The gospel is about who came into this world and died on that cross, rose again, and went back to glory. That's the gospel. The whole gospel is bound up in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the central message of the Word of God from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Christ crucified? As Paul said to the Corinthians there in chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, philosophy, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross of Christ. That's what it is. Now, first of all, at the cross, and you know I'm not talking about a piece of wood. You all know that. You've been well taught. You know, talking about the sufferings of our Lord. At the cross, that is where we learn the truth. If you take away the cross, if a person is ignorant of the cross, they don't know the truth. It's interesting, over in turn over to John chapter 18. In John 18, let me see, let me go to verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto Christ, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. My voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? You see, apart from the cross of Christ, you don't know the truth. You don't have a foundation. You have absolutely no foundation for life. You have no foundation for the reason that God has created all this, apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at the cross that we learn the truth. The cross preaches the clearest message of the character of God and the grace of God. You cannot understand and really know the true character of God apart from the cross. You and I cannot know the true meaning of grace apart from the cross of Christ. Can't do it. It is at the cross where mercy and truth meet together. It's where righteousness and peace kiss each other. It's at the cross. It's where God can meet the sinner and save the vilest of sinners and be a just God in doing so. God can save wretches like me and you at the cross and nowhere else. Nowhere else. It is at the cross where we learn the truth about sin. Sin, it's not me doing some bad things. It's not bad habits. Sin is not bad habits. You know, a drunk, an alcoholic can quit being an alcoholic, but he's still a wretched, sinful man or woman. That doesn't change who I am. I may change what I do, but I don't change who I am. We learn the truth about sin at the cross. Sin in all its ugliness and evil is revealed at the cross. When you think of the evilness of sin, don't think of somebody out here like a Charles Manson or somebody that, you know, that's doing the most hideous things. Don't think of that. Go to the cross and look what we did to God's Son. Now, there's where we find out who we are. Is when we go to the cross and we see our natural enmity and hatred of God. And notice I didn't say there, it's our. They represent us. They represent us. You got the Jews and the Gentiles, the religious world and the pagan world, all turned on God. There, and there at the cross, we see that. We see sin in all its ugliness. And we see sin, listen, Scripture says this, for the wages of sin is death. How bad must sin be for the wages of it to be nothing but death? Nothing but death. God said in Ezekiel 18:4, He said, behold, all souls are mine. Whether you believe God or not, you're His. You're in His hands. Whether you believe Him or not, He's got you. Whether He's got you as your Savior or your judge, it's one or the other. But all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. By the devastating effects of sin. Who can describe the evil of sin? Only God knows. Only God knows the full measure of the evil of sin. You and I don't know it. We don't know it. We haven't been there. God knows it. Have you ever thought this? Because I have. I have. But I know better. I thought it, but I know better. Have you ever thought that eternal punishment, eternal torment was a bit much? Have you ever really thought that? Have you ever thought for God to put a man or a woman in hell, and they are under the absolute torment of God forever and ever and ever. You and I can't grasp that. We can't grasp that kind of punishment. But that's how evil sin is. And that's how God sees sin. And you know what I and you are by nature? Sin. We don't just do some sinful things. The Word of God teaches us we are sin. And at the cross, we learn something about the truth of about sin, what it is, the evilness of it. At the cross, we learn the truth about ourselves. When the Creator came into the world, you would think we would have rejoiced, wouldn't you? You would think when God Almighty became incarnate and walked among us, that we would have rejoiced, that we would have ran to Him, that we would have asked Him to teach us. But we, you know what we did? We nailed Him to a cross. We nailed Him to a cross. That's the human race. We slew the Son of God. Listen to Acts chapter 2. We've seen this here a few weeks ago. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. God gave you the opportunity to express your gratitude, your love, and here's what came out. Hatred. Hatred. Now I want to make a note here on something, because this is something I've learned over time. Making someone feel bad about themselves, and you're no good, you know, you're just, we're rotten, we're just wicked. If you do that apart from the cross, all you're going to do is lead that person to despair. That's how people go and commit suicide. They have no foundation for why they feel like they feel. They have no foundation for the evil that's in the world and what they see in themselves. They feel themselves to be a loser. I tell you what, in light of the cross, I understand that. I understand that. I understand what I am in light of the cross. But if you take the cross away, that's nothing but despair. That leads to nothing but despair. I tell you, if I'm going to talk to somebody anymore, if I talk to them, I tell them that we're no good, that the Word of God says that there's none good, no, not one. I'm going to do it in the light of the cross. The cross of Christ. Because there is one that's good. And there is one who can make me good. There is one who can make me righteous. Listen, the cross reveals the truth about God. You cannot learn the truth about God apart from the cross of Christ. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It is at the cross where we see the true character of God. He is a just God and will by no means clear the guilty. I mean, He will not let one sinful thought go. He will not let one sinful thought go. Sin must be punished. Even when it's found on His Son, our sins were laid on Him. Now, you know, we make excuses for our children far more than we will for anybody else's. God didn't. He didn't. What's it say in Romans? He spared not His own Son. He didn't spare Him one blow. He didn't spare Him one ounce of wrath. Jesus Christ had to drink the dregs of God's wrath completely dry. I mean to the last drop in the cup. God is a just God. But at the cross, we also learn this. We learn the truth about the grace of God. When God gives us sight, when He gives us eyes to see, one of the things we see is we don't deserve what He's giving us. He's giving that to Christ. And He gives us what we don't deserve, which is exactly what Jesus Christ deserves. We have what Christ deserves. All things are what? Yours in Christ. You and I are getting what He deserved. He got what we deserved. Oh, you can't understand grace until you go to the cross. Then we learn the truth about the love of God. Oh, the deep, deep love of God. For God, John 3:16, the most misquoted verse probably in the Word of God. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let me show you who that is. Turn over to John 17. Let me show you who he's talking about. John 17, look in verse 6. Look in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word, but you chose them out of the world. Out of the world. God so loved the world, He loved Gentiles as well as Jews, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for them, live for them, die for them, and that whosoever believeth, and that word means continually believes until the end, until you die, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's at the cross we learn the character of God, the grace of God, the love of God. Everything about God we learn at the cross. And then the cross reveals what God has saved us from. We learn at the cross what He saved us from. We learn that of the character of God. We learn the character of sin, which is us. But we also learn what God has saved us from, which is our sins. Our sins. I got a lot of them. You got a lot of them? We can't count them. There's so many. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Their many, many sins. And then here's something else he saves us from, and we learn at the cross. He saves us from the wrath of God. It says in Psalm 85, 3 and 4, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Well, when did he do that? When did God take away his wrath? After he took it out on his son. Now listen to this. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Why? Because he's satisfied now. It's over. The battle's over. Tell her warfare is ended. And notice this in verse 4 of Psalm 85. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. You see, God has turned from the fierceness of His anger because He took it out on His Son. And now I need God to turn me to Him. He's reconciled to me, and I need to be reconciled to Him. As Scott Richardson would say, lay down your shotgun. I need to lay down my shotgun. God's reconciled to me. Be ye reconciled to God. Where? At the cross. At the cross. I want you to listen to Nahum. In Nahum chapter 1, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And the scripture says that you and I were enemies, where? In our minds, by wicked work. We were enemies. And the wrath that God took out on his enemies, and you and I were enemies at one time, he took it out on his son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. The Lord is slow to anger. He's great in power and will not at all. He will not at all acquit the wicked. When Christ was made to be sin for us, he was made to be guilty. He was made to be guilty, and God did not acquit him. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. That's the wrath our Lord took at Calvary. What has he saved us from? Our sins, his wrath, and eternal torment. Matthew 13, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. The tares are always among the wheat. And they are going to be gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You're saved from that. God has saved you from that eternal torment. That rich man, I cannot get this out of my head. He's still in torment. He's still thirsty. And I'm not going to be. You know why? Because one day Jesus Christ cried, I thirst. I thirst. And now I don't have to. His tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth. Mine doesn't have to. His back was striped. Mine won't be. By his stripes you are healed. Saved from eternal torment. The things I'm talking to you about this morning is real. It's real now, I'm telling you. We need to live in the reality of it because it's real. And then at the cross, we learned what we've been saved to. We learned something of the character of God. We learned truth about sin. We learned the truth about ourselves. That's where we learned the real truth about ourselves. We learned what we've been saved from. But now, if God has saved us from something, he's also saved us to something, hasn't he? Well, he's saved us to the adoption of sons. God has adopted us as his sons. There's two, you know, we are sons of God in two ways, by adoption and by birth. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure to make you his son. He didn't do it because he gave you a chance and you accepted the chance. No, he chose you, loved you. The reason's found in him. It's found in him. And it was his good pleasure to make you his sons and daughters. His good pleasure. Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's why you can't keep from crying. You can't not keep from calling God your Father. You can't keep from it. The spirit of adoption's in you. And you and I call on him as our Father. And then we've been saved to a godly life. A godly life. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not just holy as he sees us in Christ, but to live out this life in a godly manner. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that's before we leave this life. That's why we are here. If these things are missing, it's because God has never saved us. I want to tell you something. Believing the doctrines of grace will not make you gracious. Believing that God is love will not make you love. It's the love of God shed abroad in the heart that will cause you to love one another. It's tasting that the Lord is gracious that'll make you gracious. And I'm telling you, there's a real difference. Because there are people who just get a hold of the doctrine. As a man said to me one time, he said, once I heard the doctrines of grace, it changed my whole theology. Well, you can't do that without changing God's. You can't change your theology and not change God. It leads to a godly life. It leads to love. It leads to graciousness and kindness and gentleness. If those things are missing, you've never been to Calvary. You've never been there. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like his Son. How is Jesus Christ? What's he like? What is he like? He said, I am meek and lowly, didn't he? This man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. He's kind and gentle, the way he handled people. He was holy and righteous. And then we are saved, listen, to the praise of his glory and grace. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We are saved to the praise of the glory of God. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:7. I didn't turn to all these because it would take too long. But Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, when this is over with, listen, when this is over with, throughout eternity, God is going to display you as trophies of his grace. You whom the Lord has saved, are trophies of his grace. And he's going to display you as trophies of his grace throughout all eternity. He saved you to the praise and glory of his grace. He didn't save you because you impressed him. Oh, if I've done anything, I've depressed him. To the praise and glory of his grace. And then last of all, he's saved you to eternal life. You have eternal life, the life of God. I can't begin to really imagine what that really is, eternal life. Eternal life, our Lord said, is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Eternal life is the life of God. You go over in 1 John chapter 1 and you can find that. Listen, in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You have everlasting life. In all seriousness, now I have not come up to that hour of death But I do know this. I'm not going to die. Now, I don't know what that hour will be like, but I know this about me and I know this about you according to the Word of God. We are not going to die. We have everlasting life. Now, everlasting is not hard to understand. It's just not hard to understand. You don't need a dictionary for that. And a person in here needs a dictionary for everlasting. It will never end. Death will never come into mind again. I'll never forget when Henry and I was walking away from a grave of a good friend of ours. And Henry looked at me and he said, "I'll be glad when we quit dying. When we quit dying and I don't have to do a funeral no more." Death is gone. Right now, everyone sitting here listening, you know this one thing's hanging out there, don't you? You know it. You know it. You know that you've got to die to this life. You know that you've got to leave this life. You've got to leave this life. But you and I, when this body is laid in the ground and we just go to be with the Lord, that's over with. I can't imagine that. Sin is over with. Crying, sorrow, pain that is caused by sin, it's over with. Where did we learn all this at? If we've really learned it, if we really have learned it, and we're not just believing some facts that we've heard, but we've really learned it, it's burned into our heart. We've learned it at Calvary. We've learned it at Calvary. At the cross is where we learn the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. All right.